Americana with your hosts,
Benzie and Will.
Thanks for tuning in.
Hi, Demericana listeners.
Hello.
Benzin Wilkes here. Today's actually a really special episode. Last season, as we've been saying, we had special guests and they were just some relatives of ours. But now we have the special, special ladies from La Charla podcast. And we have Mrs. Isela and Lily. Say hi, girls.
Hi.
We're so excited to be on each other's podcast.
Yeah, and collaborating together. We have a lot of similar ideals, and all of us being from, you know, being Latinas from a Hispanic background is very special. And I think there's quite a movement on podcasting in general with people that are just like us. So that's a wonderful community to be a part of. So girls, tell us a little bit about yourselves so that our listeners can get to know you.
Definitely. Lily, you want to go first?
Passing the buck.
Well, we're, like you said, we're Latina podcasters. Mm-hmm. We're from Dallas, Texas. And ooh. So, as well, they probably haven't listened to us, but if you would, you, we're both teachers. We talk about that a lot in our struggles. I'm engaged and still on the, maybe someday eventually I'll get married.
The long track. It's all good.
We're on track, it's okay.
Right,
we're on track, somewhere down the road. And that's pretty much it.
Yeah.
Not much.
That's a lot.
Yeah, that's a lot.
I'm Isela, and I'm born and raised in Dallas, Texas. And yeah, other than being a teacher, the other part that consumes my life is my soon-to-be two-year-old son. Aww. And next week will be my 10-year anniversary married to my husband.
Oh, wow.
Congrats. That's a huge deal. Well,
so yeah, it's just mommy life, teacher life, mommy life, wife life sometime, you know, in the middle.
Yeah, because mommy life.
So Demericana has been around for about a year and a month or so. How long have you guys been recording?
Just hit a year, actually, on February 13th.
Oh, wow. So right around the same time we launched our podcast.
It's like this whole podcast movement, you're right.
Yeah.
Everywhere, which is pretty awesome.
Yeah. And actually, that's a great segue right into what we wanted to talk about, which is... Not only, of course, as Latina women are we very proud of the movement that is coming out, but also the fact that this coming month of March is actually Women's Month. And so today's topic has a lot to do with that. And I think it's a topic that a lot of us can speak towards, because it's something that, even whether it's consciously or subconsciously, I think these are things that go through our mind. So, Wilkes, did you want to introduce it?
Sure. Tell me, you threw me the...
I threw you for a loop. Gotta be on your toes.
No, I think, like you said, I think now more than ever, it's been, even with, like, the Women's March and the movement with, you know, how our new presidency is, and how I feel like women's rights have been kind of put under attack a little bit. And mm-hmm. So I think it's moved to the forefront in a good way, because now I think a lot of people are... taking notice of it, right?
And it's visible. Mm-hmm.
It's something where it definitely shouldn't be an issue. Women's rights are people's, you know, human rights.
Yeah,
but I think now we've had to, you know, fight for them a little bit, which kind of feel it's unfair. So I think it's important.
Like, so many different topics are surfacing. You know what I mean?
Definitely.
Like, from all angles.
Definitely.
Mm-hmm. Within the whole umbrella of women rights. It just seems like there's just so many things that are like, well, what about this? And what about this? What about that? So it's just, it's empowering to know that a lot of women can get together and, you know, fight for your beliefs and everything.
Exactly. No, and how the Women's March, just it's a record, right? It's been the most attended march in history.
Yeah, and I think part of what was a little disturbing about the backlash for people who were marching was that they were accused of being like bleeding hearts and what are you doing? What's the point? And it's like no movement ever started because everything was right in the world,
right.
You know? So, so of course this has to speak volumes. And if people didn't notice it, it's almost like shame on you for not recognizing and acknowledging that this isn't like, oh, you know what? I think I'm going to go march today. This is something that took planning. It took a lot of very passionate people who were fed up and I didn't get to march. I didn't, if I'm being honest, I didn't even know that they were meeting here in Orlando.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But major cities, did you guys have anything in Dallas as well?
I have no idea.
I saw that we did, but like you, I didn't know that they were going to have something here in Dallas.
Yeah. And I feel like it was coming from all angles and different. I felt like there was just like this big melting pot of issues going on that I didn't really. I didn't have that central focus of, okay, where, what march is this for? Or what are these people standing for? All I heard was different groups just kind of mixing up. And it was just, you know, for me, that's a little, not chaotic, but just overwhelming.
It's true.
Overwhelming to where I'm like, okay, where what's going on?
There's like too many issues to focus on, right? Where it's like, it's a little sad because we're not even 100 days in to this presidency, and I feel like it's just been such a rocky start, and there's so many issues, and now big issues kind of like women empowerment has been, you know, it is overlooked because there's so many other ones.
But with that, you know, you said something key, Wilkes, and you said women's rights are human rights, and whenever anybody's human rights are being violated, everyone deserves that moment to stand on the soapbox and say, hey, we need to be heard, you know? So we hope, at least my hope is that that was inspiring to people who also feel a little bit downtrodden based on whatever they're being discriminated against. So, you know, we were mentioning women's empowerment, and in that moment, I'm sure a lot of women felt very empowered to go and even inspired after the fact because of the voice that they felt that they gained. So, as Latin women in Texas who are teachers, wives or soon to be wives, mothers, what do you define as far as women's empowerment? What does that look like on a personal level? Not necessarily on a national march, but what does it look like for Isela and Lily?
For me, I would say that it's just having that equality with everyone around me, whether it be, and I mean, as close as being your familia, you know what I mean? And as Latinos, I know that we get this, I don't know, like this thing in our families to where the guys always get to do whatever they want. What I mean? And I know this is only on a smaller scale, but, you know, when me growing up, I grew up with two boys. My brothers were allowed to do everything they ever wanted. You know what I mean? And for me, it was like, no, tú no puedes hacer eso porque eres mujer. Eres mujercita. You know what I mean? And it's kind of like something that's kind of ingrained into our mind since we're little. You know? And I just feel like breaking that cycle and telling our kids that you can do anything, you can do whatever you want. You don't have to be a boy to do this, or you don't have to. Girls aren't the only ones that do that. You know what I mean? And as a mom lately, like one of the things that I want to do with my son, I'm like, I want to cook with him and I want to bake with him and this and this and that. And I'm not going to lie to you. In the back of my mind, I think of those times when you've heard that voice saying, oh, but boys don't do those things. Those are only girls. So it's like something that's kind of like the seed that's planted since you're little. It's, and I mean, it's
hard to break.
It's a lot in the Latino culture, but, you know, it is what it is. We just have to kind of break that mold and get out of that mindset, you know?
No, you're absolutely right. We talk about that before. Remember, like, it said, or in the Dominican culture, it's like when we learn how to make white rice, oh, ya se pueden casar. Right, like now you know how to cook, so now you can get married.
You're like, that's your ultimate goal. Like you have hit peak womanhood because you have cooked, learned to cook.
Or you know, like with my brother, he was able to go out and get home late. We had to have like someone with us all the time, my sister and I. You know, even like when my sister was dating, I had to be like her chaperone. Like
and
it
you
was
were
like
a kid.
Yeah, but it was something like that where, you know, for girls, our like reputation is like way. I think
under a microscope and it is at stake. And there's even a phrase, and I don't know, maybe it's a Dominican thing or maybe it's just my family, but like if we did something that was unbecoming of a little lady, they would say, "Es que tú te crees macho." Like, do you think you're a guy? And it was almost like, no, I know I'm not. And again, it comes from like that that's ingrained in you. Like, oh, I'm not supposed to do this because only guys do these things, you know?
So. No, it's true. I find myself thinking that too. Like, okay, career-wise, like I think I go into looking, or when I was looking for a career, I would think like, well, I want to have a family, so I'm not going to be in this demanding one because I'll never be home. But usually those jobs are more heavily with men, right? Like men do the ones that are usually they'll travel for work or they have longer hours. And but it's not. It shouldn't be that way. We can travel for work. Yeah. We can work long hours. Why not? I mean, maybe we don't want to, but that should be our choice, you know?
Yeah.
So how about you?
So what just kind of keep stemming back to, you know what I mean? Just like those cultural, I guess,
stereotypes
and just little beliefs that are ingrained. I mean, it's not intentional, of course, you know what I mean? But at the same time, you're like, dang, it kind of sticks with you. And then it's like, it, you start to realize that a lot of people, you know, males in power do start to see it that way. They grew up that way also. And they start thinking men do this, women do that. And that's it. And it's not. So once we start teaching our kids and we start with that foundation of don't raise them that way, raise them thinking that they can do whatever they want. It doesn't matter if you want to go be a chef or a baker, that's totally fine. You know what I mean? Because there just there shouldn't be a boundary. You know what I mean? With that, like a gender boundary.
Yeah. What about Lily? What does she think of?
Well, it's almost in the same lines as Isela. And I think just because of being a teacher and being in the classroom and seeing how your students are, especially your female students, where you see that it's not okay to be smart or it's not okay to think about going into that career. I think just breaking that mold and being like, yes, you can do that or you can do this. Just because your mom is a stay-at-home mom doesn't mean that that's what you're going to do too. So I think that's what it's like. It looks like to me, just empowering girls and women that you don't have to follow what everybody else
did. You don't have a limit.
There's no limit. You can break that mold. And like you were saying, where the careers, because even that, because I remember when I first started college, I was actually a nursing major. And so I was thinking about being a nurse and I wanted to be in the ER room and I wanted that to be my life. And when I was talking to my parents, they were like, no, you, when are you going to have time for a family? They were always like, if you get on, if you're on call, even if it's a holidays, what are you going to do? Leave your kids? And so, like, I started thinking about that. And I mean, like, luckily, when I took my internship, I fell in love with teaching. And so, I mean, like, it all worked out in the end, I guess, for them in their minds. But I mean, like, just even for them to even say that and for me to even second doubt my choice.
Again, they planted that seed,
So they planted that seed of doubt. That's what I would tell them. So, not that I regret my career or anything, because I love what I do. But I don't want women or girls that are growing up to even have to go through that. So I think that's what it looks like to me, just breaking out of that mold and showing them, hey, it can be done. You can have a career. You can have a family without putting any, without sacrificing it.
Well, it's interesting.
50-50, two people to make that baby. So come on.
I'm kind of glad that Ulises doesn't have any sisters. Ulises is my fiance, by the way. He doesn't have any sisters, so his mom put him to clean and all that.
Oh, that's
he's
good.
The one that cooks.
He likes to do it.
As school teachers, you guys really do get to kind of come in on the ground level and be able to offer that kind of influence to young girls and young boys to not, you know, to break the mold and try to kind of combat those seeds that are being planted by everything that is around us. I was actually having a similar discussion with a friend and he is of the mindset that there is already equality and that the feminist movement is women trying to lord their power over men. Whereas I'm like, well, that's ironic, you know. But it's one of those things where we were discussing and we did come to an agreement somewhere. And this part was disheartening, but it's a fact. And it's that women, I was saying, you know, think about the CEOs of major companies. They're always men, and the big directors of departments, it's always men. And a lot of it, and there's truth to that, a lot of companies hire men because they figure a woman is going to go on leave or she's going to have to stay home with her sick kid and so forth. But a lot of it is because women do not apply for those big jobs. You know, they do not, they tend to go for the administrative assistant, the secretary position, the junior this, the vice president of that, versus going for the top job, whether it's intimidation or lack of preparedness. And I think men are just raised with more confidence and more encouragement of you can do whatever you want. And girls are not necessarily told that from a young age or enough times from a young age to really believe it.
Yeah. You know, bouncing off of that, I found a couple studies that show how the disparity between women and men and like the work place especially. So gender related barriers like sexual harassment or hiring process and career progression. And the difference is like there's 79% of women are victims to each of those things. So to the 21% of men. Right. Mm-hmm. So then there's the gender empowerment measurement. That's a real thing, right?
Like at a job, a specific
company? No, like worldwide. Okay. It's called the GEM. Okay. And it shows women's participation in a given nation politically and economically.
So they're comparing like nations against nation based on their... Okay.
So like in the UK, how like there's parliament. So how many members of parliament are women? Uh-huh. And like the US, I guess the Supreme Court, how many are women? And like they divided like that, like put women in power and economic... You know, where their pay is, you know. So USA is ranked 10, which isn't terrible.
Of course, of all the countries in the world.
Yeah. And then in first place is Norway, which is cool to see. And then there's another one, Gender Parity Index. And that is socioeconomic. So how many women are for you guys, like for how many women are in school, so how accessible is education to women? And so I didn't get the numbers for that, but I got how many women to men are in school, which is the GPI. There's so many things. USA is ranked 45.
In the grand scheme of things, it's on the first half, but it's still not good for being, you know, making the claim of being the most developed country, you know?
Yeah. And then Iceland is in first place.
There's a lot of countries in Europe that have a lot of really progressive ideals. Mm-hmm. I have a friend who's out in France, and she was like, I was able to go to a pharmacy, and for $25, I got antibiotics over the counter for my eye. And she was like, they don't have urgent care. So you pay, as a traveler, you pay $50 and a doctor goes to your wherever you're at.
Wow.
Or $70.
Wow. Can you imagine?
So this is France, and maybe they might be lacking in an area that we might be very proud of here in the U.S., but there are a lot of things that the U.S. can definitely improve upon.
Yeah, we just took my sister-in-law to CVS last week for an inhaler, and they were charging her like $75.
Yeah, for something that
for an inhaler.
Yeah,
wait, she was like, "What? No." So I'll use a neti pot. I don't know. We were like, "What the? For an inhaler? No way."
So Wilkes, you are a new mom, and we've talked about this a lot. But when you think of women empowerment and you think of your baby, what do you feel?
Going off of Isalena, you're a mom to a boy, and I'm a mom to a girl. So for her, I feel like she's already got so many things against her. She's a girl. Mm-hmm. She's, you know, Latin, and I just feel like, what, you know, people are gonna say, no, you shouldn't do that, or no, you can't do that, and I want her to be like, heck yes, you can be anything, you know? Yeah.
There's a saying that the voice inside our head is our parents' voice, and so if as a parent, you know, like the one that repeats things in your mind is your parents' voice, but I hear my mom and my dad telling me encouraging things when someone else is saying something that tries to, you know, override what they're saying. So, I mean, I'm not a mom yet, but I would encourage moms to be, if you know that you're going to be the voice in your kid's head when they're an adult,
and be the positive voice.
Yeah.
No, and it's nice. I think now more than ever, I feel, or maybe it's more in the, in the forefront of our minds, like we pay attention and we notice it more, where there's like more women on TV and more, even on TV shows, like they're women in like positions where like some are doctors, like I know Blackish, right? Like she's a doctor.
When you see like Michelle Obama, you're like, why didn't you run for president?
I know. We said that.
Crazy.
She would have won. I feel like.
I'm like, you would have won
for sure. For sure.
Come out the woodwork to vote for you.
Exactly. No. So there's definitely been like a change in like entertainment. How before, I think we never really saw that many women or women producers and directors. Yeah. Shonda Rhimes, you know, everybody loves her. And so I feel like now for girls growing up, there's more of a yes, you can kind of thing.
Yeah, there's a lot more role models and things to aspire to nowadays.
So that makes me excited, and it's true what you said. Yeah, like, we're forward. Definitely, like, you know, it's funny because Leo is my husband, and in the Super Bowl, there was the Audi commercial. I don't know if you guys remember it, where it was just like, should I tell my daughter she's less than my son? Or daddy's worth more than mommy. And it was just like, no, right? We're all equal. Mm-hmm. And Leo, like, turned to me, and he's like, that makes me want to buy an Audi. And I was like,
he's such a girl dad.
Yeah, he was like, we're getting an Audi. I was like, good for them. I feel like that commercial was really, it was one of my favorites because I was just like, that's all true, you know?
Love it.
But definitely.
Even with sports, you know, sports, there's sports here and there that were not intended, or I guess intended, for, you know, females, but slowly but surely, like the NWA and things like that.
Yeah.
NBA and
WNBA. I was like, NWA, that's Compton.
Dr. Dre.
The WNBA, but now, like, even with, what is it, like the UFC fighters and all of that?
Oh,
like, I'm more interested in the
girl fights, definitely.
Fighters.
Yeah.
That's so true. That's definitely true.
We definitely genderize.
Yeah, no, it's not. Like, I know, I was telling that to Leo, like, with our daughter. I'm like, well, you want her to get into ballet, but also, like, lacrosse if she wants to, right? I don't care, but.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to break, and it's not a bad thing. To be clear to anybody out there who is a stay-at-home mom or does have a traditionally feminist role, be it at your job or what have you, those aren't bad things, you know? And if that is the important part, or rather what I think the feminist movement is trying to advocate, is that it is your choice, and it is because you have consciously chosen that, you know?
Yeah.
So, for instance, you ladies who are teachers, do you encounter male teachers and feel a disparity there? Because people think teachers and they think women. Is there anything there that you guys can speak towards?
Well, I mean, like, we do see that teaching is a female-dominated field compared to males. And when you do get a male, you do see that different treatment.
It's very different.
And it's very different just because, you know, we don't have that many male teachers.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of the times, you know, we do want our boys to see, like, hey, I can be a teacher. It's not just women that can do it.
Yeah.
So it's kind of that opposite effect in teaching, where we need more males in the field because we do need better role models for our boys.
Yeah, for sure. And even, like, I mean, it struck me recently, and I don't think there's ever been a lack of it, but I noticed how many male chefs there are. And it's like, why are boys intimidated of cooking? Or why is it like this common thing for guys to not know their way around a kitchen when we have, like, you know, these amazing, Iron Chef is always a man, you know, like, so I don't know where this is coming from. It has to maybe stem from the home or entertainment, where it's like, you always see the guy, like some college guy who just eats ramen all day long.
I know, I'm like, really? Don't you have the Food Network?
Right, you have the Food Network, come on.
Listen, recipes on Pinterest.
I know, Pinterest.
Oh, you will not catch a guy dead on Pinterest. I'm sorry.
Oh my goodness.
Actually, my husband does get on Pinterest for, like, house projects that I'm putting him to work
That's
on.
Awesome.
So.
Yeah.
He's an evolved man.
The next week.
Awesome.
No, I think I want to just throw in one little thing that I read and I thought was really cute, and it's a good thing to put out into the world. Yeah, that it's, what is a queen without a king? Well, she's a queen, right?
Mm-hmm.
So she doesn't need a king. Technically,
And again, like, there are amazing men in all of our lives who support and value us, and you know, that's important. But being yourself alone as a woman is enough. There's actually in our Hispanic culture, I am a single girl who is no longer in my teens or early 20s, And so I feel this weird pressure to just get married already. And do you guys...
Welcome
did you
to the club.
So I don't know if it's a cultural thing. I don't know if it's just a women experience in general. But it's almost like you are somehow less than, or like you are somehow still finding your way or what mm-hmm. have you, because you need some sort of validation. And it's really easy to fall into that mentality sometimes. Especially when every Christmas you're getting asked, like, when's the boyfriend coming?
Or any gathering, right?
Like, I just came over to say hello.
Yeah.
I think it's a cultural thing because it doesn't stop. Like, once you get married, then they start asking you when you're going to have a baby.
Yeah.
When the baby comes,
when are you going to have another one?
That's the next one. Mm-hmm. You're like, calm down.
Relax. You're still at the hospital room. They're coming to visit you. That happened to me. So, when are you going to, you're not going to wait a long time, right? And I'm like, I'm postpartum one day.
In the hospital still.
I'm still here. What are you talking about? No, you can't wait. I mean, you don't want them to be too far apart.
So did any of you, like Lily or Isela, did any of you experience any sort of, I know Lily, you're planning your wedding. So did you experience any sort of kind of backhanded compliments or some sort of joy that was a little confusing when you did get engaged or?
I mostly got the about time, but hold on, you don't know all my background story. I've been engaged for, this year it will be 6 years.
Okay, it's a long engagement.
She's milking it, man.
Okay, I see.
And so it was about time that y'all did it, but mm-hmm. now it's getting to that point where now married to our, I mean, like, I love them and everything, and they're very supportive. But now they're getting to that point where before, you know, it's kind of shameful if you have a baby out of wedlock.
Mm-hmm, yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's getting to the point where they're like, I don't care, just have a baby.
Yeah.
just have a baby. We need a bigger hair.
That's so crazy.
And so, I mean, like, that's the only thing that I have right now. And then I mean, like, I even get that from Isela. When are you going to get married?
Come on.
My baby needs a bestie.
We've all fallen victim to this, you guys. It's so hard to break the habit.
I know, it is.
So, okay, so to that point, what small things can we individually do or do we currently do that empower us individually? Do you guys have anything that just reminds you of your power as a woman that you're like, this is what keeps me going even when I am facing opposition?
Okay, I have a prime example of that. Mm-hmm. My friend, my coworker and I have been like working out hardcore. We're really trying to like get healthy and all of these things. And we've started running. We started a running program. And in the beginning, I was so intimidated to even walk on a dang treadmill next to a man. Like I was, especially a fit man. I'm like,
yeah. Oh, gosh, yeah. Do you find that they like look over to your settings?
Yeah,
they do. I've had that happen to me, and I'm like, can you mind your business? I'm walking, and I like it.
It's called a power walk, my friend.
You know, what's funny about it is that, you know, in the beginning, that's the way it wasn't. We would, like, find the treadmills all the way away from everybody else mm-hmm. and hoping that a man wouldn't come jump on the treadmill next to us, especially a dude that's, like, a runner or whatever.
Right.
But now, I mean, we've been doing this program for, this is our sixth week already. Mm-hmm. So now we're, like, running for endurance. And we get on the treadmills, and I'm like, I'll get on any treadmill. I don't care anymore. Mm-hmm. I'm just like, you know what? I'm about to run on this thing. And if I look like a fool, I look like a fool. I don't mm-hmm. care.
If you don't like it, you can turn around.
But you're right. We have busted them looking over at our settings, looking at us like, damn, they're running for real.
This ain't no power walk. How about you, Lily? Is there anything specific to you that encourages you or...
I think it's just my career.
Okay.
I think that's what encourages me to keep going and just seeing what I'm putting out there into the world. It's kind of like where I kind of see what I'm putting out there into the universe with them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I get that satisfaction.
That is so nice.
I think that's what drives me and makes me know, hey, your choices and what you've done, it's okay.
Uh-huh.
You decided that you wanted a career first before a family, mm-hmm. and if you're okay with that and your partner's okay with that, then that's all that matters.
Yeah.
And so I think just getting into that mindset, I think that's what's really motivating me to just keep doing
that. Not only that, I mean, seriously, you're kind of like their second mom, and they spend a fraction of time with us more than they do at
that's
home.
True.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's like you're molding these little minds to just let them know that they can do whatever they want. Like,
I'm showing that to my sister, too, because, I mean, like, I have a younger sister that just started college this year, this past year. And so just telling her, hey, you don't have to get married. You don't have to follow the stereotype. Get your education, do what you want, get your career, and then everything else will fall in line.
Right.
And so I think that's also, she also drives me to keep doing what I'm doing.
Right.
Yeah. So having somebody, I mean, in both cases, not only your relative, but also these children that you're pouring into day by day. That's awesome.
Yeah.
So, Wilkes, I know you have a demanding career. Is it in your career? Is it in your household?
I think it's in my hobby. I like podcasting, and I feel like carving out this little time for my, like, personal time, I would say. It's, like, empowered me to do better, I think. And I think it's important for, yes, work is important and your life with your partner is important, but time for yourself is really important to be, I don't know, your own little safe place and empower yourself through your hobbies. So I think it's been nice to have this little disconnect from life, I think.
Yeah. And a lot of times women, we're kind of asked to give, you know, so taking some time on your own, and whether that means, you know, I'm going to take 1 hour before bed to just unwind and do what I want to do, forget about any schedules or whatever. That's a great one. For me, it's probably sounding counterintuitive, but I am very girly and I'm very proud of being very girly, you know, so I always wear, you know, I always wear dresses. I love wearing lipstick and makeup. And then right? It's like, I'm telling you, a bright red lip will work wonders. And I don't do it in a sense to manipulate, but it's very interesting to notice that people are sometimes surprised if I come in looking girly with my makeup and my dress, and then I speak eloquently or I'm firm about something, because it's very easy for someone to judge you visually, and then you kind of take them by surprise. And so it kind of upsets the balance a little bit, and in a good way, because you almost get a little bit of leverage there because you're taking them by surprise. So those little moments are not necessarily, again, it's not that it's an intentional thing, but when I do notice it happening, I'm like, I'm breaking some stereotypes, aren't I? You know, so.
Right.
That
you're
definitely
like, you saw the cover, meet the book.
Right? Read the book. That's hilarious. Awesome, awesome. Yeah, it's just something that I think every one of us have our own experiences, and so it's important to know what works for you. Because I think that's kind of what the feminist movement is about. It's not about, this is the structure that we're all supposed to follow. This is the structure that we're all supposed to be. This is you know, even with the march, like, there were so many little things, but that can almost be a beautiful thing. You know, it's like, ultimately, this all belongs to us, even though it's different for all of us, you know? So, it's been honestly one of the topics that we've held close to our heart for some time, you know, ever since the presidency, even before the election happened.
I think,
But we're so glad that you guys have been able to offer your insight and all of your experience. I did want to leave you guys with just the knowledge, our listeners, that you guys are going to be able to connect with La Charla, because we are going to post on all of our social media outlets how you can connect with the girls, so that we can all
thank you so much, of course
we believe in supporting one another, especially, like we mentioned, with this Latin community that we're a part of. So if you're on Instagram, go check out La Charla PC, as in podcast. And like I said, we'll make sure that we're posting it on our own. So ladies, did you want to leave us with anything before we sign off for the night?
Let our listeners know where they can find you.
Definitely. You can find us at La Charla PC on Instagram. And Lily, where can you find us on Facebook?
At La Charla.
And if you have any questions, comments, or just want to share a little bit of your feedback from the show, you can reach us at lacharlapc@gmail.com.
Yep. So definitely go give them a listen, because we're featured on one of their episodes too. So that's a nice surprise.
You're both a series, I guess, of the collaboration.
Thank you so much for inviting us to do this. This is so awesome. We need to do this more often.
I know this has been so fun.
And just thank you guys. This is great. And I think that women coming together to support each other, and, you know, empower one another. That's a start. You know what I mean? You got to start within yourself, and then just start spreading the love and getting it out there and supporting each other, helping each other out.
Yeah, it makes the fight easy.
It does.
Especially being Latina.
Yeah.
And we're working with each other and not against each other.
what's really great about this.
Definitely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. For sure. And it, like I was saying, it makes the fight easier when you know you're not alone.
I know.
In all sense of the word. So, well, like we said, thank you guys so much for being with us. And of course, Americana listeners, thank you for tuning in. Of course, we'll be back next week with another topic for you. In the meantime, don't forget to hit us up on our emails, our Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, everything. We say it. You know?
Google+.
Google+. iTunes. Don't forget to review us and tell your friends, especially if you are women of color and can relate. So actually, we'd love to hear from you.
And also, if you're coming from La Charla.
Oh, yes. If you're visiting,
yeah. Welcome.
Hello. So let us know through our email, comments, or Twitter, or whatever. What do you personally do to remind yourself of your power as a woman or as this goddess that we all walk around as on this earth? So let us know. We'd love to hear your thoughts and what we might have missed that encourages you. So we'll hear from you next week.
Bye.
Bye.